Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Matt Fielder from the Houston-based Project Cargo team at Logistics Plus. And we welcome you to another edition of Money Radio WPSE's Business Spotlight featuring Logistics Plus. Today we're going to talk with Matt Fielder, the company's Vice President of Specialized Transport and Project Cargo based in Houston, Texas. Matt, thanks for joining us today. As we usually do at the beginning of this program, we'll have you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you came to Logistics Plus, and what your role with LP is today.
Well, thanks for having me. My name is Matt Fielder. I'm the Vice President of Specialized Transport and Project Cargo at Logistics Plus. I've been with the company a little over 2 years now. I got introduced by a former colleague and friend that is currently at Logistics Plus. And I guess the rest is kind of history. So now we're rolling and moving and doing all sorts of fun things with the Project Cargo department. So it's been good.
Matt, your story is very similar to several other LP guests that we've had on the show in recent years. As you mentioned, you knew somebody from Logistics Plus. They got you into the company. And now you've got a great career with a great organization that maybe initially you didn't expect.
Yeah, it really is good. It's a family type environment. They give you room to run, and we're really growing. It's really good.
Matt, explain to our listeners what Project Cargo is, and why does it require a whole separate division within Logistics Plus to manage it?
Okay, so Project Cargo and projects are kind of two of the main things that the LP team handles. Project Cargo is basically where a single piece of cargo is complex and challenging enough with enough moving pieces and modes that it lends itself to being a project in itself just to move that one piece of cargo. And then two, projects, where we have multiple pieces of cargo and shipments coming from all over the world going to a single destination. So for these types of shipments, it's extremely important that we have a dedicated team that's accustomed to these complex things and interface with both the customer and vendors to ensure that things run as smoothly as it can.
Can you explain why Houston is the best place logistically for that?
Houston is really become kind of one of the project cargo capitals in the world. It's got the oil and gas market. It's got the energy sector. It's one of the largest break bulk ports. So those things combined have really lended it to being one of the major project cargo sectors.
In that respect, it sounds like there are all sorts of strategic advantages for LP to place that operation in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it's geographically strategic, and also, for the human capital side of it, we've got a great pool of talent that resides here in the Houston area as well.
Matt, we'll go with a two-part question here. Can you comment on U.S. port congestion and if the capacity woes are forcing Project Cargo rerouting, and is that continuing to be an ongoing issue?
Yes, port congestion is still, and I think will remain for the foreseeable future, a major issue in the transportation logistics industry. For Project Cargo, we don't always have the option to deviate ports because of heavy haul permits, routings, things like that. But in instances where we do, for break bulk shipments on container vessels and things like where a Project Cargo shares port terminals with the overcrowded container carriers, we do have to be careful, or we could face significant delays to our projects and our schedules.
In your opinion, Matt, what led to the U.S. port congestion issue? I'm sure it's not just one thing specifically, but a series of events, correct?
It's definitely a series of things, and it's multifaceted. I believe it's a combination of the delay in shipping, the rise in COVID, and then basically everything being turned loose at once, combined with things like the blockage in the Suez Canal and things like that, leading to basically a global crisis and shortages of capacity and an overwhelming influx of cargo all happening at the same time. And because of that, we're just constantly behind, and there's really not been any significant way to catch up on that. So it's leading to overcrowding at terminals. It's leading to overcrowding for space on the carriers themselves. And it's something that's going to take quite a while to iron itself out.
From the way you just described the entire situation, it sounds like the industry is going to be dealing with these capacity issues for the foreseeable future.
I think for some time it might be. It's definitely not something that we want to happen. It's something that I wish was a little bit more in our control, but it's something that we're all trying to figure out how to work through, how to deal with, and approach the best way we can for our clients.
Is it challenging to keep your customers informed yet satisfied despite the port congestion and capacity woes involved with logistics right now?
Really, it really is. The communication aspect cannot be understated in the current market. It has to be a constant back and forth with open communication and be able to work through things and resolve problems. That's really all we can do in circumstances like this. There is no magic booking. There is no magic wand to be able to make things pass through ports easier than they could. So it's just something that we have to over communicate with, explain the circumstances, and try our best to work through.
When thinking about the many logistics services that LP provides, I've heard that it's easy to overlook Project Cargo. Why shouldn't we overlook it?
Well, Logistics Plus has a lot of different service offerings and divisions, so I guess it can get lost in that pretty easily. But the Project Cargo team is growing rapidly and continuously adding to our portfolio. So we get to do some pretty cool things. And honestly, I think some of the pictures and videos of some of our cargo moving is some of the coolest stuff around. So, you know, we get to use some pretty cool toys like dual lane trailers that are hundreds of feet long, enormous cranes lifting hundreds of thousands of pounds, heavy lift ships moving big pieces of cargo all around the world. So as far as, you know, that little kid playing in the sandbox with an excavator and wanting to move big things, it's about as cool as it gets.
With the scope of things that you were just describing that you transport in the Project Cargo division, no 2 days are ever the same, are they?
That is for sure. And that's one of the things that I like most about it as well, because it's frequently in different locations, different port pairs, different cargo, different size, different weights, different trailer configurations, different rail cars. So it's a constant puzzle of putting the best pieces of those things together, you know, to come out with the optimal operating solution and commercial solution for the client. So it really does keep things interesting. It's always new. And to me, it's always exciting. So that's what's fun about it for me.
What are some examples of current or recent projects that you and your team have worked on?
Well, at any given moment, we're moving multiple power and energy projects, specifically related to transformers, power generation, solar, all around the world, power plant, exhaust stack sections that we're currently moving to a plant in Illinois, locomotives and diesel engines and generators to various places around the world. So we're constantly adding things there.
Matt, what's been the most unique or challenging cargo project that you and your team have ever had to manage?
I've been lucky to play a part in some pretty cool shipments. I've done a few million plus pound reactors approaching the 2 million pound range in southern Louisiana, fully assembled port cranes passing the Statue of Liberty and under the Manhattan Bridge on barge, record-setting moves for heaviest weight in a couple of states around the country, rail clearance busters that have pushed the envelope for what's possible moving by rail. One of these recently was a very large and asymmetrical transformer that was shipping up to eastern Canada. The rail clearance alone, which is the approval for the railroad to move this, took us over 6 months to get approved and over 15 iterations. It was previously advised that it was impossible unless the Transformer body was literally cut down with a torch to be made more narrow and to be able to pass multiple obstructions. So when it finally ended up moving, it required multiple special trains while moving in a specific direction through bridges because of its width, 5 railroads, and we were required to move a handrail on a bridge and had to actually take down fencing through one of the rail yards to allow us to be able to make delivery. And this was all in combination while we were on a tight schedule for both the site requirements and due to weather-related permit restrictions. So we ended up beating the start of frost thaw in Eastern Canada and getting it delivered by 3 days. So needless to say, we all gained some gray hair on that one for sure.
Have recent rising rates affected Project Cargo like it has other modes?
Yeah, it has for sure, especially the ocean market and domestic trucking. So availability is scarce and it's constantly pushing prices up and up, basically lending your cargo getting moved to being up for the highest bid. So it's created a pretty dramatic environment. For the more extreme moves, it hasn't as much on the heavy haul side or the rail transport side yet, but I do worry that that is going to be on the way as carriers and things like that start to update their tariffs going into 2022.
Has the change in administrations affected the cost or any other aspect of the logistics industry for your division?
I haven't necessarily seen it swing that quickly. Now, the oil shortage did cause a fuel spike a few months back, and that did lead to immediately higher fuel surcharges from truckers domestically. So it can have effect on it. Now, as far as the international side on the ocean market and things like that, I haven't necessarily seen any particular political type swings in the market. It's more of a longer effect, I believe, in the long term.
Outside of yourself, how many folks are part of the LP Global Project Cargo team, and where do they all reside?
We have roughly 20 people scattered around the globe in Project Cargo hotspots. We mentioned Houston, but we also have others in North America, up in Erie, Pennsylvania. We have locations in Mexico, Turkey, China, and multiple other locations in Europe. So we're not an enormous team, but we try to be strategic with where we have people sitting.
Matt, how has the pandemic impacted the way Logistics Plus manages Project Cargo?
Well, COVID has required all of us to make changes and added challenges to our lives. You know, although we would prefer to not have our work procedures change necessarily in most cases, but we've all been forced to make those changes. We've all had to resort to more online meetings as opposed to being in person when possible. Especially at the beginning of the pandemic and through the midst of it, when travel bans were in place, it became difficult for us to make it to some of our ports for loadouts. It became more difficult to visit some sites. So we did end up having to rely on local labor and local intelligence for some of these things. Now that, you know, some of those mandates have relaxed, we are operating much more normally, you know, with some of the standard extra health and safety precautions in place. But for a while there, it was a little tricky to get out to the ports and make sure that we were able to get boots on the ground for a lot of these things. So we did have to make adjustments for sure. That's really the extent. I still feel that the boots on the ground part of it, making sure that we're there and present, you know, to be able to oversee and manage some of our loadouts safely, had to be required to change. But, you know, now with vaccines, with mandates being relaxed, there aren't many travel bans and things like that in place. So we've been able to, for the most part, get back to as normal as possible in the way that we operate.
Matt, reading up on Project Cargo before this interview, what I've really learned about it is that it's all about attention to detail. Pre-planning seems to be a crucial step that leads to efficient operations. How does pre-planning reduce cost and risk?
It's absolutely pivotal. we have to have it. Front end planning and pre-planning is critical, and without it, we would not be able to operate successfully on the majority of our shipments. Our major shipments require commercial, operational, and engineering pre-planning to have a successful shipment. You know, so, and then that has to be communicated with our customer, our vendors, and the project orders in order to be able to deliver without damage, safely, on time, and on budget. So without that pre-planning, things would not go well at all. We'd be lacking our permits. Shipments would be getting delayed. There would be bridges that would potentially be hit. So you name it, and it would go wrong if you don't have proper pre-planning.
Matt, let's take a moment and go back to when we were discussing the U.S. port congestion issue and how communicating and going above and beyond for your customers is the LP way. One thing that we are always impressed with when we interview different members of your organization is how incredible the technology is now, especially the technology that LP uses across its operations. From your perspective, how does that technology come into play?
You know, now we're able to track things using GPS, use our applications. We're able to, I mean, just from, you know, text messaging, and we can literally ping a location and send the GPS coordinates on a piece of cargo immediately to a customer. It's enabled us to do some pretty cool things. So that just allows us to have even more ways to communicate and display information to be able to better serve the clients.
The investment that Jim Berlin and LP made into the newer technology that is used daily has been the differentiator that sets LP apart from the competition, hasn't it?
It really is. It's allowed us to, you know, to be a 21st century logistics company, as we like to say. So in that applies to Project Cargo, that applies to domestic truckloads, that applies to all phases of the company. So it's pretty cool.
We've mentioned on here, and I want to come back to it for a moment, the continued growth of Logistics Plus, expanding into so many different markets and what they've been able to do globally. What has that been like experiencing that growth now as someone who's been with the company a couple of years?
It's been pretty impressive. I mean, in just a little over 2 years that I've been here, just the Project Cargo team has nearly doubled in size. We are adding divisions. During the pandemic, we started a health and safety division. You know, it's really about problem solving, and Logistics Plus looks for problems and we try to find a solution to them. Whether that be, you know, we need to adjust personnel and create a new division, whether that means we need to go spend money in developing an application. It's really about that problem solving mentality and figuring out the best way to do things and to be able to support local businesses and clients to be able to help them deliver their product the best way possible. So I think the more that the clients hear about it, the more that it gets out there, it becomes kind of a word of mouth thing. And it's really enabled us to continue to grow with our clients. And it's been pretty neat to see.
As we've been discussing topics in regards to the Project Cargo team with you, Matt, it's very apparent that your division, like every other division at LP, practices what Jim Berlin preaches, and that's doing whatever it takes to get something done for the client.
Definitely. And like I said on a previous question, as we look at things, it really is the puzzle of the cargo and the way that it fits, trying to find the right solution for it and being relentless until we do find it. That's really how we end up being successful. So that applies to not just Project Cargo, but I think in all areas. So that's really the LP mentality.
I've heard on good authority that some of the Project Cargo folks in Houston are avid golfers and that you even have an on-site golf simulator as a way to combat stress. Is this true?
Yep, that is a true story. There's a few of us. We do try to get out and play around about once a week together. And, you know, when we can't do that or it's been an extraordinarily stressful week, we turn on the simulator and we can hit a few balls at the office. So it's pretty neat to be able to have an open room available in our office and set that up and be able to swing a few in there.
I'm sure as a stress reliever, it's needed at times.
Oh, yeah. Moving big, heavy pieces of equipment all over the world during COVID and the pandemic with extraordinary challenges facing us basically all the time and having to adjust to them. It's good to be able to have something to go blow off a little steam.
Matt, thanks again for your time on this episode of Business Spotlight. We really appreciate it. As we bring this episode to a close, one of the things that we've had a lot of fun discussing throughout this year when Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight is the celebration of its 25th anniversary as LP continues to be recognized as a great workplace. How do you and your team feel about that honor?
Well, I mean, it's extremely impressive, and it's a testament to the leaders of the organization and the ideals and the leadership that has made LP a success and continue on our path of record-setting growth. I mean, it's a wonderful place to work, and you know, I'm extremely grateful to be here and be a part of it. It's a ton of fun. You know, we believe in work hard, play hard, and you know, we try to have a good time while we do it. It's pretty extraordinary.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.